Victory in Grace proudly presents the following message in the Proverbs series by Dr. James A. Scudder, founder and senior pastor of the Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church.
We're going to talk tonight as we go through Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17, the delightful path, point one. The delightful path. Proverbs 3:17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about wisdom. We're not talking about the wisdom of the world, that world that says, well, I'm more educated than you. We're talking about applying. You know, you cannot have wisdom. It's impossible to have wisdom unless you're applying the Word of God to your life. A person that doesn't apply the Word of God does not have wisdom. Just doesn't have wisdom. Now, I want to tell you a true story. And this story is so painful that I hate to tell it. I just hate to tell it because the true story came out from Dear Abby. Now, you know in all my ministries, I've probably only quoted Dear Abby twice, maybe, in 35 years. So it's not something I do very often. But the parents were going to give an automobile to their son, and his name was Bill. And his father spent months looking at cars, and the week before graduation, they found the perfect car. On the eve of the graduation, his father handed him a gift-wrapped Bible. Bill was so angry that he threw the Bible down and stormed out of the house. He and his father never saw each other again. It was the news of his father's death that brought Bill home. As he sat across that night, and he looked through his father's possessions that he was to inherit, he came across the Bible that his father had given him. He brushed away the dust and opened it to find a cashier's check dated the day of his graduation in the exact amount of the car they had chosen together. Boy, now I tell you what, that story is painful, isn't it? He had the gift, he had it given, and he didn't accept it. A lot of us have the great gifts that God wants to give us in the Word of God, and we don't accept it. Boy, when you read a story like that, you think about the father, and the father just left that check in that Bible, and they never saw his father alive. Never saw it alive. When we were in Israel together, I forget which one of our trips, and we came upon one of the old Crusader fortresses. And I remember them saying that this fortress has not been touched. It's exactly the way it's been for the last 600 years. There's not a stone that has been touched. This is the actual Crusader fortress. Y'all remember going there in Belvoir. And one of the ladies with us says, we must both have the same landlord. Nothing's been touched for all these years. I thought about that. Why is it that all the ways of wisdom are pleasantness? And why are all the paths of wisdom peace? Now, I especially want to ask you teenagers that today. You know, sometimes as teenagers we think, well, that's just not true. I have a neighbor that I'm really starting to enjoy and to get to know. And he came home the other night. Everything was normal. And he went to bed, and he could not move any part of his body, just kind of like Mike Wunsum. But we know that Mike Wunsum hit the back of a wall, but this guy didn't know what was wrong. And they rushed him in, and I will not go into detail, but he had something, had surgery that would solve the problem, and he had emergency surgery, and he was okay. But he told me the story. He said, when he was a teenager, he was a Christian, and he decided to go against the things of God. And he said, let me tell you, Pastor, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And he shared with me some things that I don't think I'll share. And now he says, you know, when I'm serving the Lord and I'm in a church, and he said, I find out that serving the Lord is much more peaceful and it really is a better road. Well, that fits right with this message tonight. wisdom. Now, I'm adding the word wisdom, but that's what it's talking about. Her ways are the pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Why is the way of the Lord peaceful? Why is the way of the Lord wisdom? And why is wisdom's ways pleasant and peaceful? Why? Why is it? Now, when we think about a foretaste of what's going to be in the future, you know, I know we say, well, that's easy. That's heaven. And that's going to be great. And the streets are paved with gold. And we can't even comprehend it. That's what I was talking about this morning. We can't comprehend what it's even going to be like when we see Jesus glorified. We can't comprehend it. When He comes back, and the world's made fun of Him and laughed at Him and ridiculed Christians, and when we come back and we see what He's like, it's going to be unbelievable. Now listen, I'm not talking about when we get to heaven. I'm talking about right now. Why is the paths of wisdom, which is the paths of God, He is the God of wisdom. Why is following the paths of Christ peaceful and delightful? I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about right here on this earth. Now, I know some of you say, well, I don't know if I totally agree with that. Well, if you don't agree with that, it's because you're not studying your Bible, you're not having daily devotions. I had one of my high schoolers, and he came to me a couple of weeks ago, and he shared with me some things, and I said, well, how are you doing with your devotions? He said, I'm doing great. I'm doing my devotions. I said, that's great. What are you doing? Right off, he fired off what he was doing. That's exciting. I said, what have you found? He said, I found that serving the Lord is more fun than not serving the Lord. Why? Why is it? Why is it the title, Take the Hand of Wisdom? Why is it more pleasant to serve Him? You say, well, Pastor, you've served Him and you've had some real heartaches. That's true. I've had some real heartaches, but I'll tell you this, it's still more pleasant, and the heartaches I've had have only led to helping me to grow in Christ. And I don't like heartaches, and I don't want to go through any more heartaches, and I don't ask God to give me heartaches, but every one that He's ever given me has made me someone that's on the path a little bit straighter. Why is that? Why is that? Let me tell you the number one reason following the paths of wisdom are pleasant and peaceful. Because Christ has followed the paths before we have. And He's taken out all the dangers. You know, several times in the Tour de France, the bicyclists would go over a railing and they'd break a shoulder, they'd break a wrist, and some of them, not this year, but some years, have died. Even in a bicycle race, they've gone over a mountain and have died. And the paths weren't straight. But the paths of following Christ, even if sometime you might fall over that cliff. I found out today that they've always given a prize to the one that wins the Tour de France and the one that comes in last. You know, there's a great effort to try to get last. That's weird. I said, I got some kids I can enter in that. That's true. You know, there's advertising benefits. I guess if you said, hey, I came in last in the Tour. Okay, good. You get a prize. I don't think I'd want that one. I think I'd still want to come. I mean, if I was going to be last, I'd come in next. I don't want to be last, do you? They're pleasant because Christ has already gone in front of us. But when we live a life of hypocrisy, it's not pleasant. It's pleasant to live as a citizen of heaven. It's pleasant when you live and look at the eternal affairs of life. That's pleasant. Let us try ourselves. Are the ways of God, do they seem pleasant to you? I've heard some of our people recently, and I was doing radio the other day, and Julie was saying on the radio, she said, I look forward every Sunday to coming to church, and I look forward to Sunday night, and I look forward to Wednesday night. Now, I really believe that she means that. I really believe she means that. And I really believe a lot of you look forward to coming to church. But I know there's some of you, you just assume you didn't have to, but you've come anyway. Because if you don't, you'll be, you know, pressure's on you or whatever. But that's not the way it ought to be. So we need to look and see, do we see it as pleasure and pleasantness? There's great advantages to virtue and to being the right kind of a person. There's great advantages to being the right kind of a teenager. There's tremendous advantages of it. Just great advantages. When we had the two gentlemen on the platform last Sunday night, and Del Johnson and Mr. Munch, they were a lot of fun. There was a lot of fun there. And they were not only fun on Sunday, we went out with them on Monday, and they were a lot of fun on Monday. And they knew a lot, and they wanted to learn a lot. But one thing I noticed about them, they were excited about serving Christ. Boy, I like to be around people like that, don't you? Don't you hate to be around those deadheads? The wicked life is a life of liberty and pleasure and what you think is advantages. And you say, but the life serving Christ is uncomfortable. No, it's not. But here's what it is. It hit me finally. I was asking God to give me something that I could explain this. When you first begin serving Christ, the life does seem quite boring. It's not. It's not. But when you first start doing it, you say, man, I can't do this. I can't handle this. The truth is you have more liberty serving Christ and not being held to sin than you have the other way. You know, some people are held to stuff. We have people coming to RU that can't get over gambling, can't get over being at Arlington Tracks. They can't get over poker on the Internet. And that's what now most of the college students are playing poker on the Internet. You know, they say, well, there's always been weird things. Well, yeah, but it's getting worse, friends. If you don't think that, you know, I was telling them today when I went to college, everybody on the campus but me would go watch Batman. I thought it was stupid. I still think the show's stupid. I can't stand it. And they all go, they all read. I said, my roommate, Charlie. I said, Charlie, why are you doing that? He said, I like the... I said, oh, you're nuts. He said, I like what Robin says. Not you, Robin. Another Robin. I mean, it's okay to like what you say, but it wasn't you. So, yeah, well, I don't know why I said that. Just forgive me for that. I didn't like it. I just never liked what everybody liked. If everybody liked it, I didn't like it. Were any of you like that? Did y'all like Batman and Robin? I'm not even going to ask. I don't want to know. I won't sleep all night if all of you raise your hand. So I don't even want to know. I just don't want to know. See, the pleasure is the idol of men and women. And they strive for pleasure. But the problem is, and here it is, the pleasure that they strive for is not good pleasure, and it doesn't last, and it doesn't satisfy. And the pleasure that is the good pleasure that does last and does satisfy, they don't strive for. It's much more fun to serve Christ than it is to be out there in the world. I've been on both sides. I can say that for a fact because I've served on both sides. And there's no comparison. But when you start serving and following wisdom, it's hard for the first few months, and then it gets easy. But you got to give it a try. And you don't do it to give it a try. You do it because you should do it because of what Christ did for us. I've got a little story here I want to read you. And I'm going to change it around a little bit. God created the heavens and the earth and populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach and green and yellow and red vegetables of all kinds. So He made man and woman would live long upon the earth. Then using God's great gifts, Satan created Ben and Jerry's and Krispy Kremes. And Satan says, you want chocolate with that? And man said, yay. And woman says, how about some more sprinkles? And God created the healthy yogurt. that women and men found so fair. And Satan brought forth white flour from the wheat and sugar from the cane and combined them. So God said, take my fresh green salad. And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing and garlic toast on the side. And men and women unfastened their belts. God then said, I have sent you hearty, healthy vegetables and olive oil in which to cook. And Satan brought forth deep fried fish and chicken fried steak, so big it needed its own platter. And then God brought forth running shoes so that children might lose those extra pounds. And Satan gave them TV with a remote control so they would not have to change channels and get up. Men and women laughed and cried before, but now they can't even hardly move. Then God brought forth a potato, naturally low in fat. Now, I don't quite agree with this one, that potatoes are good for you, but whatever. Brimming with nutrition, and Satan peeled off the healthful skin, sliced the starchy center into chips, and deep-fried them. And man gained pounds, and God gave them lean beef so they might consume fewer calories. And Satan created the 99-cent cheeseburger. Then he said, you want fries with that? And man replied, yes, and supersized them. And man went into cardiac arrest, and God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. Then Satan created HMOs. Karen Vacco said, please don't say that one. But I tell you what, if we didn't have HMOs, all of us would have some problems, wouldn't we? They're a pain and everything else, but I'd sure rather have them than not have them. I sure would. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. Take the hand of wisdom. The pleasure of religion may be destroyed, and you may think that it's no fun. And, you know, it's possible for people to have religion and even want to serve Christ and never have any fun. But it's not the fault of God. It's not the fault of God whatsoever. You can never have too much of serving Christ. It can never be in excess. It can't be. Now, God doesn't want us to be kooks. He doesn't want us to be nutcases. He doesn't want us to always do the weirdest things. He doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't. But He wants us to be excited about the things of God. He wants us to be like Dale Johnson was when he spoke up here and Mr. Munch. That's what He wants us to be like. He wants us to be excited about the things of God. Are you? Are you excited? Are you excited about the Grace Conference coming to our church? Are you excited? You know that Satan's going to tackle us and Satan's going to do whatever he can to wreck this. But are you excited about it coming here? I think you are. But that's what it is. Get excited, the things of God and how important the things of God are. See, there's not only peace in the end, but here's what I want you to get. There's peace on the way. You say, well, Pastor, I mean, we go through terrible trials and terrible struggles and terrible things. That's true. But I tell you what, even the worst things we go through, even the hardest things we have in life, compared to what the world suffers, is a joy. It's a joy. The worst things that we go through is a joy. The gifts of wisdom, both of our hands can be filled with blessings. He wants to not only give us reward, but He wants to give us more and more rewards. He wants to put both hands full of rewards. He wants to bless us on this earth. And I'll tell you, friends, I have seen it over and over again. Those that are givers. Now, takers never get blessed. Takers never have any joy. Takers never understand. And those that can never, ever see the need to ever give to God or give to even tithe, they never get blessed. They never get blessed. But givers are always blessed, and those that give and those that go through terrible trials. I've seen this. I've seen them just get blessed over and over and over again. You know, wisdom surprises her children. with more and more better products, better things. Virtue leaves us in possession of all the great joys of life. But see, when you're not serving Him, no matter what you have, it's never enough. No matter what you get, it's never satisfying. So no matter what you have, I know people in this church that make very little, and they have more than those that make a lot, because those that have little are givers. They're givers. And they're blessed. How wrong is it to conceive of following Christ as an enemy to pleasure? It's not true. The pleasures of serving, they're more delightful than the pleasures of sin. It's a continual feast. It really is. And just think what that Last Supper is going to be like. What do you think the marriage of the Lamb is going to be like? Man, you can't imagine. Millions of people? I can't imagine. What do you think they're going to serve? I think I know. It'll be country ham. It'll be collard greens. It'll be real nicely cooked green beans. There'll be cornbread. You think I'm too southern? What do you think you're going to have if it's northern? A little cup of tea and a crumpet? No, it's going to be southern. Dean, isn't it? It's going to be southern. Now, Dean, say yes. Thank you. Kentucky barbecue. Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Kentucky barbecue. No, it's going to be so incredible we can't even think of it. It's going to be so great we can't even imagine it. It's going to be great. You know, it's like the guy that had a great antique collection. He had things from Israel and all over the world. And he had some movers. He said, "You be very careful. That vase is over 2,000 years old." And the guy said, "Sir, I will treat it just as if it was brand new." You're thinking, "I don't know if I want that guy moving or not." You know, serving Him, it heightens our joys. It makes us see things in life so much better. See, the more godliness, the more pleasures we have in godliness. The more godliness, the more pleasures we have in godliness. How about the possession of reputation? You know, a lot of our staff has been doing some refinancing. And the guy that's in charge of it said this. You know, they just refinance what they have. And he said this. He said, "How come everyone that works at your church," he didn't say it to me, but someone else, "has great credit?" He said, "How come every one of you?" He said, "My church, I go to," he said, "believe me, they don't have very good credit. Because we are excited about the things of God. And our reputation means a lot to us. One of the causes of unhappiness is guilt. When you have guilt in your life, you can't have happiness. The reason people have unhappiness when they're not serving, they have fear. They're always afraid. They have fear. They're always looking over their shoulder, wondering when God's going to zap them. They have the influence of unholy tempers. They have a thirst that can never be quenched after creature enjoyments. Doesn't matter what they have, they'll never be happy. How come all these Hollywood marriages, the majority of them, the great majority of them, end in divorce? They have these huge weddings, all the press, and then you hear they're getting a divorce. Why? Because the things of the world cannot satisfy. Point two, wisdom makes happy. Wisdom makes happy. Proverbs 3:18, "She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." The tree of life. You want to have life? Learn wisdom. Take wisdom. The tree of life. A teacher was teaching some 8-year-olds, and she said, "Do you know an ant can carry 5 times its weight on its back?" What does that teach us, students? And a student raised her hand and tells you for sure they don't work for the government. They don't work for the government. Adrian Rogers, and God bless him, he's gone to be with the Lord Jesus. And in his radio program, he said this, real life is living for God. Or live, spelled backwards, is evil. And lived, spelled backwards, is devil. Do you ever think of that? See, everyone's drawn by pleasure. But the best pleasures that we're drawn to sometimes are really the worst pleasures that hurt us. And they end in pain. But the pleasures of God, they help us. And they go forever and ever. You know, those that are serving Christ, their friends are found faithful and tender and pure. You know, you cannot beat the friends that we have. What we're going to have this weekend, I don't know how many churches in America could come up with what we're doing. Give their homes, give of themselves, like we're going to see this weekend. You know, whenever you go by either ship, or you go by vehicle, or you go by airplane, you always want a safe passage. When we go by the airplane, we always check the weather. And sometimes the weather will say, okay, if you go this way, you're going to get in a storm, but if you just vary a little bit, you won't have any storms. So we vary and follow the way of no storms. See, that's what the Christian life is. It's following in the way of no storms. That's what he wants us to be able to do. In Hebrews 11:25, speaking of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, it doesn't say sin's not a pleasure, does it? What it says is sin for a season. Pleasures for a season. See, it doesn't last. And you're going to be zapped by it. You're going to be zapped by it. You see that? Moses didn't want to do that. Because Moses knew that those pleasures are going to be like that. And the pleasures of serving Christ are going to get better and better and better and better. And you're going to be blessed and you're not going to be fearful. And you're not going to be worried all the time. And you're going to have friends that are going to stick by you. One thing about it, when you go out in the world, you'll find this out. Those friends will never stick by you the minute you don't produce for them. And you're done. They don't care about you. But boy, the ones in our church will stay. Sin in the Hebrew, hamartia, and it means an offense. It means being sinful. It's an offense to God. And you say, well, it's still sin for a season. Listen, we have to learn that it's not worth the price. It's not worth the price. It's just not worth it. It's much better to serve and to get on that right path and to take the hand of wisdom. It's much better to always take the hand of wisdom. The way of wisdom, because God's directed His children to walk in it, the Lord Jesus leads us in it, and the Spirit determines how we're going to have the happiness. But you cannot have peace. And I want to read this from a man named T. Boston. What peace can anyone have in the way of sin? What peace is there to a man who is a stranger to the mediator of peace? What peace so long as stinging guilt remains in the conscience, unsatisfied desires in the heart, and lust reigning within? There is no peace. A lawyer went to a judge and he says, Judge, I want to reopen the case. I found new evidence. He said, what is that evidence? He said, my client still has $500. Well, that's kind of what the world is, isn't it? That's what it does. It'll take you. You know, we have a constant fear of God, a respect for God, a conscience, obedience to Him. It will seize on all our earthly enjoyments, and it'll make all of our life a continual feast. Those of you that have put your trust in Christ and have served Him these many years that we've had our church, I've seen it. You've been blessed. That doesn't mean life's perfect, but you've been blessed, and you've been blessed, and you've been blessed, and you've been blessed, and you've been blessed. Only in the start is it hard to serve Him, but after that it's so much easier. I don't mean by that that you're not going to be tempted not to serve Him, because you always will be. But it's the hardest when you come out of the world and you say, man, I can't do that. I like my parties, and I like this, and I like that. Oh, there's going to be some day that all the people you party with are going to look like they all need Botox. They're going to be just, it doesn't take long. They were top in their class when you were in high school, and you meet them, and you're saying, whoa, what happened? What happened to you? Well, you don't say that, but I mean, that's what you're thinking, right? How about the experience of those that have gone on before and you've seen how happy they are? And you've seen the painfulness of those who haven't served. And you see their painfulness. I'll tell you what, if any of you are watching, you can see the painfulness of those that don't serve. Wisdom frees us from the company of doubts. Wisdom begets in us a hope of success in all that we do. Boy, that's worth a lot. Wisdom prevents discouragement in thinking of not being successful. Because if we're not successful with wisdom, we know that God's still there. But those that don't know, how sad that is. Wisdom makes all of our troubles and griefs and pains easy to bear by putting the right value on them. Putting the right value on them. They ask Dusty Baker, they said, how do you feel losing all these games? He said, well, it's painful, but in the scope of life, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We're not living in some of these war-torn countries. We're not living in Iraq. He said, we're not living in some of these countries that are in battles all the time. He said, it's not that bad. I don't know. I don't know if he meant that or not, but that's what he said. That's a good thing to say. You know, after 9/11, nobody cared about baseball, did they? They just didn't care. I was at a funeral. I was doing a funeral, and one of the guys came up to the guy in the casket. They looked at the guy in the casket, and he said, I can't believe. Now, this is serious. This was not a joke. He said, I can't believe he didn't hang around for the World Series. Boy, and you think the World Series is so important, it's more important than you serving Christ and going to heaven? I never forget that. I'll remember that forever. The ways of sin are not pleasant. No one can be happy that acts against conscience. You can't. It's impossible. You know, they were talking about weird things they've got on job applications. And there was this headhunter, and this headhunter said, let me tell you some things. This one person put, I take pride in my work. I blame others for everything. That's a true story. Well, I don't think they got a job. One guy said, stay calm. I'm on Prozac. And if Prozac gets me too calm, I drink tea and coffee all day. I don't think I'd hire that person either. Would you? Those who feel no remorse of conscience. You know that comedy team, and the guy's name is Nichols. And I wrote this down. I heard this and I couldn't believe it. He said, I tell myself always, life isn't everything. And he says, I feel better every time I say it. Life isn't everything. And I feel better every time I say it. I got news for you, buddy. Life is everything. And you better find out where that life's going to end up, because it's going to live forever. A comedian that says, life isn't everything. I tell you, it's what you do with your life is everything. And there's not going to be one person, those that don't serve, those that don't see a reason to serve, you're going to be sorry someday. Look at Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Do you have those things? Are you gentle or do you have a temper? Are you gentle or does everybody in your family know? Don't you get around that person. That person's vile and violent. If you have a temper, you do not have faith. Faith worth just patience. And patience has hope. You sometimes say worldly people seem to have the best of it. They laugh louder. They're more boisterous in their excitements. But friends, many times people laugh louder because they're trying to convince themselves they're happy. And they're not. And they're not. A good person is satisfied from themselves. Believers carry their happiness with them. They carry it in themselves. And no bitterness of the present life can destroy it. Take the hand of wisdom, friends. The truly happy person knows that he carries within himself his own worst enemy. And you can allow yourselves to be fearful, or you can put on the shield of faith and not be fearful. You can do that, not be fearful. So pleasure can be gained by being Lord and Master of our own souls, by binding our passions in irons. Friends, that's what it's saying, and that's what it means. I want to give you a chance right now to understand what salvation is. You know, we talked tonight, we're talking about those that already know Christ. What is salvation? I want you to look over to my right and your left, if you would, in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you get it? Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's not of works. It's a gift. No one should boast. It's free. It's given. It's total. It's absolute. That's what it is.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Dr. Scott. For more information about our ministry or to order additional resources, please visit our website, www.victoryingrace.org, or call 1-800-78-GRACE.